I was almost crying this morning, standing at the door. I thought Gary was finishing, so I made it to the door seal. Never got past that. Boy, was he capturing some history that brought us up to this point. My gosh, what teaching. And now when I look back, kind of help us where we're going. We made several steps, like coming out from under the law in every area. And that was my favorite part when he covered that this morning. In every area, including love of money. So we come out from under that with the law, and then realizing the importance of worshiping and praising God, that we decided not to stop and put an offering in the middle of that. That once we started that, we wanted to go through and let Him move any way that He wanted. So. So after that, one day I was just doing like I am now, and all of a sudden the spirit of prophecy came on me and prophesied some things about money, which is unusual. Well, the prophesying was about money, things like that. And the worthy foe that we fight when we get and under the slavery of it is you can't serve God and mammon. You can't. Man. The root of all evil. I mean, the roots feed whatever kind of fruits on the tree. So we have a worthy foe, and when lots of preachers get past everything else, then we cancel ourselves out there. You can't hurt the sheep on one side and then destroy them on another. And you'll have to keep going back to your source, whatever it is, to keep filling your bank, because you can't destroy one and asking for money to salvage another. So it seems as though it's this takeout is as old as the hills. But something's been happening, and it's the first time that I've been in realms I've had to really reach to understand. So trouble is, at this point, when I try to get into something else, he's working very heavily with me on this. But it has everything to do with the mammon of unrighteousness, and has everything to do with His love, His anointing, and everything to do with those things. So as yet, I don't have enough information to forge forward on it, nor do I understand enough. I only know that parables are starting to open up now, and I don't think it's going to be real long that I'll get to get and break this down. When we move forward. But right now, if there's ever been a time that I loved anything more than Him and His Word, I'm not aware of it. Something has happened. Word has reached out and got a hold on my heart. It seems in places I've not operated in before. And I know to go somewhere where we haven't been, obviously, things are going to happen that's not happened before. But this thing with His Word, it's the most amazing thing. It seems to be up there, that truth, with His love when those things merge, basically in their fullness, it doesn't matter what's going on. Supply. It's no problem. But he said it in his immutability, which mutability is one of his 9 attributes. He can't change, nor can he be changed. Another attribute is sovereignty. So in his sovereign state, he's immutable. He couldn't change if he wanted to. And nothing in existence is powerful enough to change. And in his immutability, when he could swear by no greater, he swore by 2 things. Himself. And the fact that he cannot. 2 immutable, unchanging things he swore by himself. And the second is he cannot. He cannot. See, you don't understand. He couldn't if he tried. He cannot lie. What has he give us to use? And in case we misunderstand it, who has he give us to guide us into all the truth of it and teach us? What, an angel? No, he didn't trust you with an angel. He trusted you with a trusted family member, the Holy Ghost. Does he just randomly show you stuff, or is there something that you can do on purpose that'll pull mystery after mystery out of God? And your part of it is understanding it and bringing it to other people. On purpose. So what did he give me? The most valuable thing he had to use? Truth. Truth. The first time I ever heard teaching on confession in repetition, and I'm going, this is something. The other faith teachers just taught you. You believe it. Then every time it comes up and the pain hits you or something, you say, I don't receive that. I've already received it. I'm healed. But one woman wore a path around a table, confessing the word hour after hour. And she was dying of a liver cancer, school teacher. And she said, what I got to lose? I'm going to die and leave my family and everything. She just marched around this night after night until it vanished. Well, I didn't see it. I didn't really understand it. So I'm thinking, Jesus said, you think you'll be heard by your much speaking? Every time I'd try what he said, and I'd walk to the end of the room saying, nope, I have it. I've already received it. I'm not taking that. Hallelujah. I thank you that I have it. So I'd get here, and the devil was waiting on the turnaround. He'd go, you think you'll be heard for your much speaking? I said, shut up. I know I'm not going to back. I got it.
Thank you, it'll be hard.
Shut up. Then I had to find out how it worked. And I did, and we've taught on it enough, but we'll say this one sentence so we can move on a little. How come when I read a paragraph once, how come I can't quote it back to you unless I have a photographic memory? I don't. Somebody had the original equipment or nobody'd have one. Must have been Adam. How come I can't? That if I read it several times, then pretty soon something happens inside. I don't know quite what it was. that suddenly my brain has room for whatever this is. I can quote the whole thing back, and I couldn't do it before. Why? If I had that kind of storage, how come I couldn't operate it anytime I wanted? Photographic memories, I can just read a book and quote it back to you. You want to slap them right out the door, you know. So something happened in there that I could quote it back. And Psalms 1:1, blessed is the man that walk not counsel the ungodly, but, nor stands in the way of sinners or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight's in the word of God, and in it does he meditate day and night. And he's like the tree whose roots sank into the rivers of living water and produced fruit every due season. It's a benefit of a meditator. Well, what happened when I kept saying it? Do you think you're talking God into doing something? He said it's already done, so I didn't know. I couldn't keep speaking something that eventually whatever it is in there that works would take me across the line. And I'd go from not believing it to believing it. And believe me when I say, the moment you do, he's there. He's there. Hallelujah. So I was listening to Gary this morning. I started to cry and haven't been able to stop. But as he's going over the ground that we've been over. And when we first taught that series, it was so much about these principles that we're talking about now. So much of it. Guess it just brought me back. But now, understanding how it works. Because of his word, I was saying, I've never loved it so much. And I'm so glad we made that step. Out of the law, out from underneath it, and then made the next step and sought him, and then the next step and made sure the services wasn't just catering to money. And that's when in that walk of love to where there is the freedom and abundance and things, those steps were necessary for the foundation. Then when the love of God came, that's the part I'm on right now. But with the love that's conquering me for his word at the moment, I guess if I wanted to encourage you to do anything now, would be whatever you needed to do to overcome anything that was keeping you from assimilating the word like he was teaching this morning. Now, if there was an important time to assimilate, this would be a very, very, very important time for what's beginning to come. Now, usually I know the visitation from the devil before it comes. I saw most of these tornadoes and the flooding and all of that. But what I understood from it 15 years ago, whenever it was that when you saw those things, you were getting close to your goal, which was the revival. So he lets me have a glimpse now and then when it's necessary what the devil's next plan is. He said that we could stand against the wiles of the enemies of militaristic plots, ploys, and schemes of diabol. Description, please. Century after century, like the ocean wears a rock down, he grinds away until there's nothing left. Useless doctrine. The word? What did he originally come for, really, anyway? Wasn't it the truth? He comes for the word. Sower sowed the word. Satan come immediately. Still the word. What's he after? Well, why are we on his hit list? Why is your picture in the post office? I can tell you, you're not only teaching his word, but you're teaching them how to turn themselves over to the teacher of his word. You're the most dangerous thing he's seen the top of the head of for quite a while. Well, maybe he's not taller than you. Well, I said, Lord, basically, what does he do at this point? What does he do at this point? And that's when he gave me about a year ago. The next move is he's after the glue in the foundation. The next move is it's not good for hell because it ties up some of the bigger buddies. But these devils major in breaking up lifetime friendships. The glue. Marriage. Marriages. Well, again, if what he wants is my word, again, what would be the combatant? What would be the best thing a guy could do? Again, if I was, well, I am me. I would assimilate. Like Gary said, what did he want you to take on next? Galatians, take it on. Get ready. You can understand what's in there. Guess what? You're going to change. So, if I left anything with you this morning, which I'm going to, I want to impress on you the power that's in this kind of meditation that leaves nothing out to get your faith on a road that really works, because it's what he said. Let me tell you something to open to. How about if you just go ahead and open up to the 16th chapter of Luke and put a marker in what would be a good book? Romans 7. I like that one. So you can get over there. At registration room for 300 preachers. We were full. Usually I give you two. Because they were preachers, I think you'd like these. A lot of them have a second job. Electrician fell two stories. Smashed himself up. He hit the ground. Had healed up as much as he's gone to. Theater style. Auditorium. I saw it in the spirit when I named it. He came to the aisle. I went up 4 or 5 steps to meet him. Walkway, 2 steps, another little walk. He fell down, got up. Jumped up and down. Run up the stairs yelling. Usual. No more pain. Second one, of course, is a preacher. I call it denominal. He wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost, didn't speak with tongues, any of that kind of thing. And he had given up. He quit. He overcame being born with a deformed eardrum, which he couldn't hear. 40% in the other. And he plowed through anyway, become a preacher until he got bitter. Sitting in an airport, that's the kind where you can flip the channel. and his testimony, we came on. He called up and found out where it was and came, and first thing he did was got filled. And I was descending those steps, listening, like I do here mostly. I said, somebody's eardrum. He's sitting at the end of that row. He came over and fell down. I said, hey, can you hear me? Because he didn't know English. But he came down to testify. Not only was he restored, but he preached for about 6 minutes. It just brought the house down. Leading up to this verse, and it's Luke 16, and the verse we'll be looking after, 16, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God's preached, boy, I like this part, and every man presseth into it. And 17, he says, and it's easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Then all of a sudden, here's your meditation principles. Here's your everything we've been talking about. Assimilation. All of a sudden, for no apparent reason, Jesus goes, by the way, whosoever puts away his wife, marries another, commits adultery, and whosoever marries her, put away her husband, commits adultery. Then he goes back, and there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. You wonder just why in the world would he take a renegade scripture like that and place it between parables that are on the same flow? Leading up to that statement, it was the unjust steward. Wasted his master's goods and was called to accountability. He said, what do I do so they'll receive me when I'm thrown out? So he started canceling debts. He used the power of attorney in the name of his rich man to cancel the debt. Jesus, telling the parable, said, children of this world are wiser in their generation than the children of light. And I say unto you, five words, make us wiser than they ever dreamed of being. I say unto you, make to yourself friends. How? Using the power that's in money, the power of attorney in the name of a rich man. Make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness that when you fail. Now this is his counsel. When you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting habitation. Well, what he's talking about is using the name of Jesus to cancel their debts, which was the sin question. And every person that your money got saved, they'll be there. Pharisees heard it and got mad. They began to deride him, which was challenge him and mock him. Say things like, according to his response, well, we're under Moses and the law. He said, he labeled them. He said, who are covetous? And I said, well, we're under Moses and the law. We don't know what you are or who you are or what you're doing. And that's why suddenly he throws in the law and the prophets were still John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and those that take it, they take it by force. And he goes, and any man who puts away his wife and marries another commits adultery, and who does marry to those put away commits adultery. There was a certain rich man that fared sumptuously every day. The man Lazarus laid at his gate full of sores. So now if the laws of meditation, why in God's green earth would he stick that verse in there? This is where assimilation. Why can't you memorize? Because this part gives way to this part and to this part. Something similar happens. Read Galatians over, and all of a sudden these three verses that you've been not, you got every interlinear, outlinear you could get to try to understand it, and just can't get it, and suddenly there's six verses over here that breaks it open for you. How did they come together? Because you prepared yourself by offering your altar on the soul, or your soul on the altar of God's word for assimilation, meditation. They said meditate day and night. Who can sit there and read day and night? But you can read it 30 times and let it go off in you day and night, can't you? Did you know that it even break down verses like this one? How did you find out what it was talking about when I assimilated Romans? Of course, Romans was first. It made me understand what was in that chapter. Why did the two come together? Because they could. They were deriding him and mocking him. Said, "Where Moses? Where?" He said, "Look, the law and the prophets ended with John. He came. He baptized me. My old man and the law died with me as a type. God was married to Israel through the law. When Jesus died, it died with him." Let's go to Romans. No. Yes, 7. I want you to assimilate. Romans 7, verse 1. "Know you not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how the law has dominion over man as long as he lives. For the woman which has a husband," second verse, "is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if her husband's dead, she's loosed from the law of her husband. So then while her husband liveth and she be married to another man, she be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, well, she's free from the law. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when you were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which was by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid." And he covered that this morning. But what's he saying here? A woman's bound by her husband as long as he lives, but if he's dead, then she's free from the law of her husband to marry another. He said, you've been freed from the law by the body of Christ. So you're freed to marry another. So Israel was married to God through the law. When Jesus died, he died with him, and to freed them to marry another, even him who is risen from the dead. That's why he used this verse. They said, "We're Moses. We don't have all this." He says, "Law and the prophets was till John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it, whosoever puts away." In other words, it would have been impossible for me to put the law away had it not been fulfilled. But since it has, it died with me and freed God to marry another, even him who has risen from the dead. So, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. If you ever wondered about Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration, I'd like to heard the conversation. Then God appears over him in a cloud and says, "This is my beloved son. Hear you him, it's which I'm pleased." You think that he was telling his son to hear Moses and Elijah, or you think he was telling them to hear him? They were discussing his decease. They represented the law and the prophets. Not only was they discussing his death, but his resurrection. What do you think they did after the talk? They didn't come down from heaven. John, the third chapter, says no man has ascended to heaven save the Son of Man who is in heaven. Nobody. So if nobody's been there, nobody can come from there, can they? So where did they come from? Abraham's bosom. Before the flood. From the promise of the Father. What were they discussing? It was getting time. When he was going to die. And empty that place out of all of those who have been waiting on the promise to be fulfilled. Boy, I'd like to heard that conversation. So they went back and got everything ready. What do you think Psalms 22 and 23 and 24 are about? You mean to tell you what's in 22? They parted my garment. They pierced my hands and feet. What does it sound like? You heard 23. It's only this long. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, if thou art with me. Thy rod and staff comfort me. Shadow of death. I mean, what can cause a shadow except death itself? After he was crucified, he walked through the shadow of the valley of death, and he said, "I'll fear no evil because you're with me." And then what did 24 say? "O gates of heaven, you better lift up. The King of Kings, the Lord of glory, is coming home. The Lord of hosts and all these are with me." For 1,000 years of people dying, believing in the promise. He led a great procession as the Lord of hosts home. Moses and Elijah. Where do you think they came from? Abraham's bosom. Abraham was born 292 years after the flood. He died 467 years after the flood. The planet only had 500 years to restore itself. Moses, no wonder they could say Abraham's bosom. Did you know that Shem outlived Abraham, Noah's firstborn? And did you know Noah shared this planet with Abraham for 33 years? I was talking to somebody and I said, "Who was Abraham's father?" He said, See, who is it? Who? Oh, Terah. That's right. So who was Sarah's father? Terah. That's right. Half sisters. had one father but different mothers. She was his stepsister. But how big could the family be in 500 years, you know? So Abraham's bosom went back a long ways. But before the flood, that'd be another story. But he told Satan face to face. Satan was the first one to know it. I hope the others were listening. Born of woman, there'll be a seed that will bruise your head, destroy the power of death that you have. And you'll bruise his heel. I'll put enmity between you and that seed. And what kind of enmity? They have one nature, you have the other. Said that promise of his bosom was what the Old Testament saints before the flood was standing in. And until after, Abraham's bosom was the promise. Well, actually, well, why are you telling these things? Because I want you to assimilate. Do Galatians. Get ready for what he's going to be teaching and stuff. Yes? Hallelujah, Jesus. Whew. I said, how can I say that? Basically, he said you couldn't. Because you don't know enough yet to communicate what I had. Well, I wanted to prophesy it, but... but he... what he's dropped in me, I wanted to try to communicate it, and I wouldn't be able to yet. That was what he was saying, basically. But I will be. I will be, because I've never seen his word or his love like I thought I had. In case you think it's really hard to get or something, it's not. It's not. Why would he die on the cross and provide everything and then have a haphazard throw you off the path just for the fun of it when you try to get there? Path is as sovereign as the miracle of the cross that provided it. One foot in front of the other, and you go there. I remember casting all of my care over on him, for he cares for me. Cast my care on him so he can lavish his care on me. For your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist, steadfast in the faith. Well, the only hint I could get of how to resist him out of that chapter is by getting rid of my cares, for the cares must be what made me devourable. Well, it was hard to get rid of them without becoming something that don't have them. Well, are they available? Oh, yes, wholesale. Get a real good deal on them. For your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. A little wounded, a little baby, giraffes, even baby elephants. They walketh about seeking. What are they looking for? Oh, exceptionally People who are weighed down with cares, disquieted by apprehension. Just weighed it down. I don't know how many times I cast them on him. And they drove the Ferrari. They did, and I drove a Volkswagen Bug. They beat me home and leapt upon my person when I came in the door. It's hard to get rid of cares when that's what you are. Ship yourself from where is a care package. You're healed when you become healed. But I had pain. Well, you're still healed when you become healed. Well, what if the pain's not there yet? I mean, what if it's still there? It'll be gone shortly if you become healed before you heal. Well, how about the care? If it has nothing to hang on to, it has to leave. What if it beats you home? I'll show it the back door. Listen, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, which opens the door to the teacher, which guides you into all truth because you start understanding the mysteries of God. That sounds like a heavy, deep word. It's not. It's simply understanding what he's done for you and the freedom that you have as his son and daughter and family.